Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have your Bibles this morning and want to follow along, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to read verses 6 through 8. 1 Peter 2, 6 through 8. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." When we read in Scripture and we read about those who are called Pharisees and those who are called Sadducees, it is referencing those of the religious in those days. So when we read of them in Scripture, they are examples of those who are religious in our day. The religious in our day are no different than those of that day. They teach men and women to build by keeping the law. They teach men and women to build by their own righteousnesses. They teach men and women to build on keeping their own traditions that they have always held to. They teach men and women to build on their own will. I want to be clear, I said will, not free will, because free will does not exist. They want to build their own way to God by their self-will. This kind of building is building upon sand. This is that kind of building that when the waters of judgment come, all of it will be washed away to nothing. It will fall, and Christ says, "Great will be the fall of it." In Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, we read this. Matthew 7, and verses 24 through 27. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Just think. You go through this life thinking you have a building that will stand in that day. But it being one that is built on sand, and the fall of it will be a great fall. It may just be that you will stand before Christ saying, as they do in Matthew 7 and verses 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hath cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Then Jesus Christ will say unto them, I want to point out that Christ never says they did not do these things. He just says the following to them in verses 23. "And then will I profess unto them," and that is Jesus Christ, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So the question seems to be, does Christ know you? Does Jesus Christ know me? Jesus Christ is that rock which we must build upon. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So let's look at who Jesus Christ is as it is seen in our passage. I want to go through the following as it concerns the passage which we have read. The chief cornerstone and disobedient builders. The chief cornerstone, 1 Peter 2 and verse 6 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Here in our passage, it says that God will lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. The word here means the extreme corner. It is a stone placed in the corner that is the foundation for bringing two walls together. It says of this chief cornerstone that it is elect and precious. Jesus Christ himself was the elect of God. It was he that was chosen to redeem his people from their sin. Isaiah 42:1 reads, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold," that is God, "mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, God himself coming down to this earth. He had to be a man, because only that which is of the same kind can bring forth those of the same kind. So he had to be a man, or salvation would not have come to mankind. This man, Jesus Christ the Lord, was chosen because it was he and only he that could do the work. This is what makes him precious. He is so precious that there is none like unto him. Scripture says of us that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. But he is one of a kind. There is none like unto him. He is a man, so he could touch man and not be defiled. He is God, so he can touch God and not be consumed. He is so precious that he can bring both God and man together in himself in honor to his honor and glory. He is precious to the Father because he is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God in which no blemishes are ever to be found. It was his sacrifice that was well-pleasing unto God the Father. Christ is the only begotten of the Father. He is also precious to the believer, because he took into his own body their sin, so that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is precious to them because not only is Jesus Christ life, he is their life. Jesus Christ is not just a way of life. He is life itself to the believer. It is this one elect, precious, chief cornerstone, which is what the building is built upon. This stone, that rock in which when the waters of God's judgment come, the house will stand and not fall. It is a rock that we can count on, knowing he was accepted of the Father, being well-pleasing unto him. There is nothing to be added to this rock. It is that rock which holds everything in its right place. Nothing is to be added to it or taken from it. If you, if I, am on this rock when the judgment of God comes, I'm talking about any judgment of God, whether it be now or that judgment to come. But if we are on this rock, if this rock is our foundation, he will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Why? Because if he is your foundation, it is his work he will see, and not our works of righteousness, which are filthy rags in God's sight. So who are these builders? These disobedient builders. It is anyone who is building a house meant for protection against the judgment and wrath of God. Those who are building for their own righteousness before God. No human being, as they are born in Adam, will build upon that stone. They hate this stone by nature. What they say is, they will not have this man reign over them. That is religious or irreligious. Do they say these words with their mouth? Most will not, but they are saying this if they are trying to add something to this cornerstone. If they are adding anything to salvation but Jesus Christ alone, if they're trying to add anything other than that, other than Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you are saying this if you think or say, or even when you try to keep the law for righteousness before the thrice holy God. You are doing this by trying to work, when you try to work enough righteousness, that is, enough good works to outweigh your bad works. Some may not say they can keep the law fully, but believe they can do just good enough to make their good outweigh their bad. It simply is not true. The scripture says the plowing of the wicked is sin. In Proverbs 21 and verse 4 it says, "And high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." We are all wicked by nature. God does not demand good. He demands perfection, the keeping of the law fully. James 2 and 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." If you do not believe this, then read what James says just before this verse, in verse 9 of James 2. "But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors." So if you prefer someone over another, you have respect of persons. For whatever reason it is that you prefer them, it does not matter. You prefer a person over another, therefore you have respect of persons. People also do this, and they do this by saying, "I must make a choice to believe God, and it is because of my choice that God will accept me." Some call this free will, but free will does not exist. Christ told the disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." John 15 and verse 16 we read. Christ says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." But Christ also says, "You cannot and will not come to him that you might have life." He says in John 5, verse 40, he says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And again in John 8 and verse 43 it says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." Anything you try to add with this chief cornerstone, what this chief cornerstone did for the acceptance before God, is an abomination before God. This is adding to that chief cornerstone. This is saying, "I will not have this man reign over me, because what he did is not good enough. I have to do more." These works God does not recognize because they came from a fallen, dead, alien sinner, and it is not accepted of God. Only those works done by his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, are accepted by God, and they in fact have already been accepted of God. He is satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ the Lord. God cannot be satisfied with anything we do because the scripture says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. And all men do not have faith." 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2 says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Faith is not just a gift from God. It says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is for sure the gift of God. Don't get me wrong. But faith is intrinsic to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Faith given by God, if he is pleased to give it, will point you to Jesus Christ the Lord, because it is his faith. The Holy Spirit having given you life, and a part of the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit being faith, when the faith of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit of God will seal that to your heart, letting you know these things are true. The Holy Spirit of God will never seal any work of your hands to your soul. If you think he does, then the faith you have is another faith. Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He will speak of Jesus Christ the Lord and the work he has done. So if you are looking and believing in any work you do for salvation, including looking at your believing, then you are not looking at Christ the rock, which is our salvation. Not only is Christ the chief cornerstone, he is the head of the corner. He is the head of the corner. What is the head of the corner? This head is one of two things. Not because he is different, but because some of us are different. We either believe or we are builders, according to our passage. Those who believe are built up a spiritual house by God himself. To those who believe, he is precious. But those who are builders, he is to you a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In other words, those that stumble at the word, they hate the truth of God, truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified. They are disobedient to his truth, and that is Jesus Christ and he alone who saves, these are they who were appointed by God to this end. Believers are a chosen generation, that is, chose by God to this end. He is what starts the building, and he is what completes the building. As I have already said, it was the faith of Jesus Christ that wrought, or that is, worked out salvation toward men. Those for whom he chose, all this was done by Jesus Christ, and he was bruised, and he has bruised the head of the serpent, that is the devil. The bruising being crushed his head, or that is gaped it wide open so that he is taken out of the way. Those who are in Christ being made the righteousness of God in him, that is Jesus Christ the Lord, they look to and trust in his work for salvation. Who is this passage talking about, these builders? Those builders are they who try to build their building for some other place rather than the head of the corner. Something man does, in other words. As I've already said, they build many different buildings, but there is no head cornerstone in the building, so it will fall. Many build their building on a denomination. It does not matter what denomination it is, if that is your hope of salvation, because you belong to a certain denomination or certain religion, then you are building on sand. It does not matter if you are building on atheism. If that is what your hope is, whatever that hope is, whether it be to think you will just die and that's the end of it, you're building on the wrong foundation, and your building will fall. If your building is built on what your family has done or held to, then you're building on the wrong foundation. If you are building on doing good to your fellow man, you are building on the wrong foundation. If you are building on a decision you made once upon a time, you are building on the wrong foundation. There is only one cornerstone, one chief cornerstone, one head of the corner. that is Jesus Christ the Lord. Salvation will not come any other way. And this way is a sure foundation, a rock that cannot be moved. He is either precious to you or you will stumble at him. Jesus Christ says himself in Hebrews 10 and verse 7, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." The scripture, the Holy Bible, is all about Jesus Christ and what he has done. So we read that there are some that Jesus Christ will say he never knew them. Matthew 7 and verse 23, it says, and we've read it, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So the next question would be, how do I know if he knows me? Here is how you can know if he knows you: if you believe the record God gave of his Son. That is, Jesus Christ, being God, came down as a man taking your place to satisfy the justice of God against you. He did this, and it is finished. Do you believe this? Scripture says if you do, then you are born of God. The scripture says we are all the children of wrath as we are born by nature. That is, we hate God as we are born in Adam. For some, those who were chosen in Christ before the world began, they have their mind changed because he chose them to this end. But in God choosing us, it was not just for the purpose of choosing a people. It was first and foremost for his glory, but it was also unto something. That is, sanctification of the Spirit, that is, God giving us life, and belief of the truth, that is, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. He does this so that you can then believe the record God gave of his Son. If you have any other name where you are looking for salvation, then it is the wrong name. If you are building in the name of free will, your building will fall one day. If you are building in the name of works for righteousness before God, you are building in the wrong name, and your building will fall one day. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verses 10 through 12. "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ and what he has done. If you are building on anything else, you are building on sand, and great will the fall be of it. Those who are his are glad to build on Jesus Christ. He is in fact the only thing they have. They have nothing else for which to build their salvation on. He did all the work, and it was his work that was accepted. These who build on this cornerstone are in the household of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, we read, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." Any other building will not grow up in this way. It will not be a holy temple in the Lord. Any other building is just filthy rags in God's sight. You need the head of the corner to be in total safety. His house will not fall, and no other building will do. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What building do you want to build on? There is but one which will stand in that day. Build on that sure rock. So when that day comes and the rain comes down, the building will stand forevermore. If you are building on anything else, Scripture tells us, and it is clear, that your building will fall, and great will be the fall of it. Just a reminder, at 12 noon every Sunday on WVVA-CW, we have a portion of one of our Sunday messages. Please join us at that time and listen in. Or come and be with us. We start at 10:30. We're just past Little Beaver State Park on you turn on Country Club Drive and then on Annabelle Lane. Come hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified proclaimed.